Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, let's get into the Word this morning. Because I've been telling the last two services, I'm teaching on something today that I have never... Now, let's see if anybody in here can figure out what it is.
Me!
That's just Gary.
Gary already told her. That doesn't count. I'm preaching on something today that I have never preached on ever before, ever, in all of my 20 years of ministry.
Oh, wow.
Never. Wow. Nor have I ever wanted to. I have never wanted to. But you know, God has a plan, and I'm not the boss around here, God is.
Amen.
And so that's why we are preaching, I'm preaching on, ready?
Yes!
The end time!
Woo!
Woo!
Yes.
Wow. All right, nobody get scared, nobody get nervous, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it, we're fine. You always got to remember that no matter what time you're in, Jesus is always on the throne.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. And so you're going to be okay no matter what age we're in, what time we're in. It's always going to be okay for you because God loves you. He has given you victory. You have the authority of Jesus' name.
Right.
None of that expires or goes out of working condition because it's the end times. All that still works. Thank God, right?
Yes.
But the reason that I'm teaching on this is because... Well, God told me to, first of all.
Yes.
And I've been getting a lot of questions lately just about, are we in the last days?
Come on, man.
Are these the last days? Has anybody else had somebody ask you, are these the last days?
Yes.
It's kind of a common thing. It's so common that even CNN and Time Magazine did a survey, and they asked people, and one-third of the American population, according to them, which CNN and Time is pretty impressive, say that they believe that we are in the last days.
Yes.
And so it's something that even people that aren't even in the things of God are talking about. And then they asked, they said that of those one third of the people, they said that they believe that they see biblical prophecies coming to pass.
Yes.
And so for them to be seeing it, I know that we're all seeing it, and it's a very good question because we all watch the same news.
Yes.
Right? We all watch the same news. We all see what's going on. Excuse me. And so, you know, when you see stuff that really honestly, I don't think any of us ever believed that we would see in our lifetimes, people being beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just barbaric.
Yes.
And something that I don't think any of us, we thought that died out with the Dark Ages or something.
Yeah.
And now here we are with that happening again. And so many believers being martyred for their faith. And things like that. And so we are asking ourselves, and in the time that we're in, are these the last days? Or what time is it? How much time do we have left? You know, I had a young person ask me that. How much time do you think we have left? And I remember when I was young and they had the same thing. They're like, I want to get married and I want to do this. And you know, and those are, you know, legitimate things to think about. And the thing to always remember is that when we get to heaven, that we will be so glorified and fulfilled that anything you feel like you didn't get to do won't matter anymore. It won't matter anymore. And so heaven's going to be a good thing. You're not going to be up there saying, oh, I wish I would have, got married or done this or done that. You may be saying, I wish I would have served Jesus more.
Yes.
You might be saying that. But you won't be saying, I wish I would have, you know, bought a car or got my driver's license or something. Because it's just going to be so great and so good.
Yes.
So we're asking ourselves today, really, the question that the world is asking is, spiritually speaking, what time is it?
Mm-hmm.
Are we at the midnight hour where, you know, tomorrow could be the day? Or is it like 6 o'clock? You know, what time is it for us? And so if we're going to ask that, we need to go to the Word and find out what the Word says. Because what do I always say? If you have a question, go to the source. And if anybody would know, if we're in the last days, don't you think Jesus would know?
Yes.
And so turn over to Matthew 24. We're going to start in verse number 3. And we got all this on the Bible app for you. Just go to the Bible app and go to live event, check BBC, and really you'll have my message notes. Because honestly, I accidentally left my message notes at home. And Ben said, just print out the Bible app, and that's what I did. and there they were. And so anyways, we're asking ourselves, what time is it? How much time do we have left? And here in Matthew 24:3, it says this. Now as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And so the disciples came to Jesus. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. And they asked him, they wanted to know two things. They wanted to know, when will this happen, and what's going to happen? And that's kind of what we're asking today. When is this going to happen, and what's going to happen? And you may be asking yourself, well, why aren't we in Revelations? Well, we're not in Revelations because Revelations makes me nervous. And I'm just kidding. We're not there because Revelations is what is going on after it's done.
Yes.
And so we're not there yet. And I didn't know this, but in my study for this, and I'm by no means an end-time scholar, absolutely not. I don't claim to be. I'm just not. And everybody has their strength. That is not mine. And so, but when it's not your strength, and as a pastor, I have to get information from people who it is their strength. And there are lots of great ministers out there who are scholars of the end times. Kenneth Copeland is a scholar of the end times. I believe Hilton Sutton. I believe Brian McCollum. He was an instructor that I had in Bible college. He is definitely a scholar of the end times. And but one thing that I thought was really interesting in just preparing is that one minister that I respect, and so I believe what he's saying, I didn't count it, but he said one in every 30 Bible verses deals with either the coming of the Lord or the end times.
Yes.
Which I did not know that. Did anybody know that? Martin, I didn't know. So a lot of times we think, oh, it's Revelation. You've got to go to Revelation. But really, especially the New Testament, is filled with information about the end times. And so here's Jesus talking. His disciples ask him. They say, hey, you know, what's going to happen and when is it going to happen? They wanted to know those two things. And Jesus went on to tell them, just a bonus verse for you. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. And so one thing that I want to make sure that all of us understand is now is the time especially that we take heed. That means to pay attention. That we pay attention that no one deceives us. Because one thing the Bible says that in the end times that the elect, or what we would call the big timers in the body of Christ, it says some of the elect will turn from the things of God and they will begin to preach a doctrine that does not line up with the word. And so there will be false doctrine and false teaching and from people that maybe we have trusted in the past. And that's why Jesus is saying, take heed, pay attention that you are not deceived. Because the enemy, the Bible tells us that in the end times, the enemy will even use his people and they will do miracles. They will do miracles, but they won't give the glory to Jesus because they're not doing it for him. They're doing it for the enemy, to deceive people, to try to pull us out of the things of God. So it's important that you take heed, you pay attention. Don't believe everything that you see on Facebook.
Right.
Amen? Somebody please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't believe. I mean, and just because there's a video of it, doesn't mean it happened.
No. Amen.
It doesn't mean it happened.
Yeah.
And it's important that we remember that the one true source is the Word of God. The one that hasn't been added to or subtracted from. The Word of God. Your Bible right here. That is your true source of information. Amen? And so let's read over here. We're going to go to 2 Peter and we're going to see what Peter says about the end times. So is everybody okay? Nobody's too nervous about talking about the end times?
Oh, no.
You just always remember. You know, I the reason that I've never preached on the end times and it's just not my thing. Maybe it will be after I finish this series. I never know. But one of the reasons is because as a young person, my parents got born again in a denominational church, and then they opened up our home to have a Bible study. Because we had a large home and had a big basement. And so my parents had this Bible study, and it was on, guess what?
The end times.
The end times. And I was only like 8 or 9 years old, and why I was even in the Bible study, I have no idea. It was definitely not edifying to me at all. But it was a denominational teaching, and now I know now that it wasn't really accurate for the Bible. And it was talking about all these tribulations that we would go through as believers, and I believe what they were saying, and they're talking about dragons and Mark of the Beast and all kind of, you know, just like as a 9-year-old, like, you know, and they're saying it's going to happen like tomorrow, you know? And so I would like go to sleep at night thinking, oh, Jesus, you know, I mean, it just scared, it put fear in me. Here's one thing that's always so important to you, always remember. If something puts fear in you,
yes,
then either A, it's not being taught properly, or B, you're not hearing it right, but usually it's because it's not being taught properly. Because the word, God is peace.
Yes.
And he leads us by peace. And he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of what?
Power, love, and a sound mind.
Exactly. And so when something brings fear on you, the best thing to do is step back and maybe go to someone you trust and have them help you through it. But usually it's because what's being taught isn't being taught properly. And so this put great fear in me. And it really just, for lack of a better way, it freaked me out.
Yeah.
It freaked me out. And then as I was growing up in a denominational setting, everybody was always saying that Jesus was coming back. It was such a big deal, especially like in the 80s. Because I remember we were talking about going to college, and somebody, a leader in the church, was like, why are you going to college? Jesus is coming back. Well, I'm 47, you know, I could have went to college, you know? I'm just kidding. I just go to college. You know, but that was people's mindset. And then there was a flower that bloomed in the desert, you know, years ago. And it was on the news. Anybody remember this? And everyone's like, oh, this is it. He's coming back. It's probably going to be this month. Well, that doesn't happen. And then when Mikhail Gorbachev, remember him? He had the unfortunate birthmark on his head. It's the mark of the beast.
Yep.
It's the mark of the beast. He's the Antichrist.
Yep.
Jesus is coming back. Well, you know, he's not. It didn't happen. And so it kind of, you know, to me, my own personal conviction of it is that whether he comes in my lifetime or not, I should live as if I do believe he's coming back tomorrow. So for me, that's just my personality. I'm just like, I should be ready regardless. You know? And so I've never studied it out or anything like that, but I did believe that the Lord wanted me to preach on it, to answer some questions and give some peace. Amen?
Amen.
And so over here in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 3 through 10, and this is Peter, and he's talking about what it's going to look like in the last days. And so we can read what he says, and we can look at our surroundings and say, is what he's saying, is it happening in these days? And so here Peter starts off and he says, first of all. So if somebody says first of all, how many know that's first? Right? That's where we should start. He said, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. So let's just stop right there. So he says, first of all, one thing you got to understand is scoffers will come. And so, what do scoffers do?
They scoff.
Hello. But we don't know what that word means because we don't use that word. I mean, when's the last time you heard somebody say, hey, are you a scoffer? You know, I mean, we don't use that word. But to scoff means to mock, to disrespect. And how many know that we definitely have, in the days that we're living in, a lot of mocking of the things of God?
Yes.
No respect for the things of God. No respect generally, but especially no respect for the things of God. So we can go check, right? For the time we're in, check. All right, and he says, next thing, they will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And so, he's saying, next thing you're going to have is people are going to be like, whatever, you've been saying he's coming forever. Nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think we definitely have that now.
Yep.
It says, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Talking about Genesis 1, creation. By these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. How many know what story they're talking about there? That's Noah and the ark. And it's important to know, because people are asking you questions to know some things. One thing is really important to know, that even science has proven out that a flood, a massive flood, destroyed the earth. And so even science has proven the story of Noah and the ark. And it says, by the time, by the same word, that present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. So God's not going to use water, because remember, that's what the rainbow is all about. He says he'll never flood the earth again. How many saw the beautiful rainbow on Wednesday night? Oh, it's so pretty.
Oh, my goodness.
Did anybody see the picture someone took, and the rainbow is right over
the church?
It's just beautiful. So pretty. And so God's not going to use water to destroy the earth, because he promised that he wouldn't. He said that's reserved for fire. Okay, so being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So this is Peter, and Peter's saying, listen, this you're going to have scoffers, they're going to be scoffing, they're going to be saying, when's this going to happen? They're going to forget about the creation, they're going to forget that God did destroy the earth at one time. And then Peter goes on to say, he says, but a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. So this could be Peter saying, but listen, guys, God isn't on our time frame. God doesn't deal in the time that we deal in. So, you know, who knows how it's going to be. But it could be Jewish scholars believe that the world, the earth, is here for 7 days. It is a 7 day or 7,000 years. They believe through interpretation of scripture that the earth will only last for 7,000 years. And so if that's true, then we have from Adam to Jesus was 4,000 years.
Yes.
From Jesus to now, who wants to guess?
2,000.
We're in 2014. 2,000 years. So that's only 6,000 years. So we can all, some of us can say, oh, we've got 1,000 more years. Woo, I'm good, right? All right, it's fine, everything's fine. It's like 6 o'clock, we have 1,000 more years. But the Jewish scholars also believe that last 1,000 years will be after Jesus comes back for the millennial reign of Jesus on the earth.
Yes.
So if that's the case, then we're actually in overtime.
Yes, we are.
It's like 11:59, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, it's going to be okay. Just breathe in. Breathe out. So relax. It's going to be fine. But are those Jewish scholars right? I do not know. I honestly do not know. Because here's one thing. Every generation has said Jesus was returning. Every generation has said that. Our time is different, though, because of the amount of years that we are in.
Yes.
And again, I'm not a scholar in this area. We're in this together.
Yes.
There are a list of prophecies that must take place before Jesus returns.
Yes.
Now, according to people who are scholars, you know, like the Kenneth Copelands, the Brian McCollums, those guys, they say that everyone has happened. The one that was really holding everything up was the prophecy that says that the word of God will be preached in every nation. And that word nation there, it doesn't mean like country, it means ethos, which means like every people group, every ethnic group, every people group. And so even over in China, they have over 100,000 different people groups. They have over 1 billion people there. But here's the thing that has happened. Anybody that knocks the internet or knocks technology, that is a gift from God.
Yes, it is.
That knowledge, I believe 100% that the knowledge that makes it possible to transmit and do all the stuff that we're able to do now, that is God ordained. Absolutely.
Yes.
The enemy has perverted it, because that's what he does with all the pornography and craziness, but it is one of the most effective tools for the gospel to be spread over the world.
Yes.
Is technology. Because here's something, a pastor who I follow and I respect, he has the resources. He had two people come into his church, and they're called, darn it, I forgot to look it up again. It's like missionist or something like that. It's a great, I would love this job. Marjorie, you'd be good at this job. It is a person, and all they do, this is their job, they get paid for this. All they do is research the impact of the gospel on the world. And then they distribute that information to, you know, pastors and people like that. And so he has two, and they're professionals, they're highly educated, and he brought them into his church because he wanted to know the effect of the gospel. He wanted to know, has the gospel been preached to every ethos? And they gave him some of the most incredible information that is so encouraging, because here in America, we're like, sometimes we think like, nothing's happening. Well, here's the thing to remember, God is not American.
No. No, he's not.
And God is not a Republican.
No, he's not.
He's not a Republican. God is God. He's bigger than all that.
He's God.
Amen. Amen? But he said this. He said that that they gave him this information that over the last 10 years, that a very conservative estimate would be 10,000, and probably more accurate, around 20,000, Muslims have converted into the gospel of Jesus every single year. I mean, who knew that, right? Then he went on to say that in China, revival is breaking out everywhere. It's underground, because it has to be. But he said that because of technology, they're able, like you used to when you do a Bible college or a Bible school or a church, you'd have to go and build a building and send information and smuggle in books. Now they can put a four-year Bible college program on something as big as your fingernail. And then these people have it. And so he was saying that in China, that right now, today, it's like either 1 or 2% of the entire population is confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's over a billion people in China alone. Revival is happening. Yes. The gospel is being spread all over the world.
Yes.
And so these scholars say that of all of the things that need to happen before Jesus returns, they believe, and I would agree with them, that they have all happened. They have all happened. And so Jesus could come back at any time. And so Peter's writing here, and he's telling us, hey, you know, God, well, let's keep reading here. He says, the Lord is not, here's why it hasn't happened yet, right here. That's what I wanted to get to. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. Somebody say thank God.
Amen.
He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And that just blows out of the water anybody's crazy doctrine that there's only a select few people are eligible to receive Jesus as their Savior. God says in his word that he's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And one of the pastors that I got a lot of information from, he tells a story, and I think it's a great story, and so I'll steal it from him. He said that this is kind of how, then why hasn't it happened yet? If everything is click, 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 you know, all the things are checked, you know, why hasn't it happened yet? And the only one who knows when Jesus is returning is God the Father. No one else. And so, obviously not, remember the older gentleman years ago, just a few years ago, he spent all of his money, and he bought all the billboards and did all that, the world is ending. Well, that didn't happen. We're all still here. Nobody knows the day Jesus is returning.
No.
And people who say they did, they do, they're trying to deceive you. So anyway, the pastor tells the story that God's sitting on the throne, Jesus sitting on the throne, and God looks over and he says, you know what? Jesus, go. I've seen enough. Go get him. Because Jesus is excited to come back for us, because he's the groom and we're the bride.
Absolutely.
And every groom is excited for their bride, right?
Yes.
And so he says, so Jesus goes, and Jesus is going to get up on his horse, you know, and I always say, anybody says there's no animals in heaven, hello, there's a horse, right? And I believe there's Pookie and Max and Fluffy. All my dogs are up there. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. I believe that.
Yes.
And so Jesus is going to go get on his horse, and he's going to get on there, and then there's God. Wait, wait, wait. I see more coming in.
Yes.
Amen.
Because God is patient, and God is love, and God is kindness, and God is waiting. God is, what is he waiting for? He's waiting for people.
Yeah.
He's waiting for people to come into repentance, to come to receive Jesus as their Lord. He's not willing that any should perish. That is the heart of God. And, you know, and then you have people that you know, pridefully say, you know, don't shove your religion down my throat. You know? First of all, we don't do that.
No.
And second of all, they say, I have my choice. And I want to say to them, you have that choice because God gave it to you.
Yes, amen.
God created this world. He created us as free agents. We can choose whatever team we want to play on. It's our choice.
Yes.
God doesn't, if God could make us do it, he would. But how many know in a relationship, if you have to make somebody do something, you don't want it anymore.
That's right.
You don't want it anymore. And that's how God is. And so that choice that everybody's running around saying they have, the only reason you have it is because you have a God who loves you. And he's just wanting you to love him.
Mm-hmm.
So God's not willing that any should perish.
No.
And then it goes on to say, Peter goes on to say, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Nobody's going to know. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And so we can see through here that there are a few things that Peter says and Jesus says through Matthew 24. If you want to say, the whole chapter of Matthew 24 is all about the last days. And so there are things that we can look at and we can see and so that we can recognize the season. We won't know the day, but we'll know the season. And so one of the things that the Bible tells us, Matthew 24, verse 37-39, says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And so we can see here that in the last days, the Bible tells us that people are going to be distracted by life. They're going to be doing their own thing. People are going to be so busy doing their own thing and so distracted by the things of this world, they're not even going to notice a supernatural move of God. They're not even going to be aware. And I'd say that we definitely live in that time. People are so unbelievably selfish nowadays. Is that not the truth?
Yeah.
One of the words that was added to the dictionary last year is a word that describes a lot of people, in at least in our country. You know what a word it is?
Selfie.
People are so self-minded. And even in the church, I had a pastor friend talking, and he was saying that even in the church, people are getting so selfish. They want to know, what does it have to do with me? What am I going to get out of it? You know, I want to have this kind of service. Not thinking that we're here for the lost.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
We're here for the lost. Not thinking about the other people. And so we've got to make sure that we don't fall into this trap.
Yes, amen.
Where we're like people just doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. And so one way that we got to check ourselves, am I more heavenly minded or am I more earthly minded?
Yeah.
Am I more concerned with what's going on, the things I've got, or where I'm going?
That's right.
Because James tells us that your life is very short. Your life is like a vapor. Another translation says like a mist. Your life, the most amount of years you can have on this earth, according to the Bible, is 120 years.
That's right.
That is the most, you cannot live past 120 years. The chances of you living 120 years are very, very, very slim. And really, who would want to live 120 years? Seriously. Right? But the thing is that, think of that, that is such a short amount of time compared to eternity. Eternity is, guess what?
Forever.
Amen. It's forever. And so we've got to make sure that we're more concerned about that. The second thing that we see here through Peter, and he says this, he says, people are going to forget about God. They're going to forget about God. And when we think about the body of Christ in the world, but let's think about the body of Christ in our country. You know, some people say, you know, these people that study this, and they have all the numbers and everything, that's their job. Some people say that church in America is declining. We're talking about Jesus churches.
Yes.
Different denominations, but all believe there's only one way to heaven, that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel church. And so some may speak in tongues, some may not. It doesn't matter. You're preaching Jesus' salvation.
Yes.
And so some say the church in America is declining. Some say the church in America is just the same. But others say, and I believe this is more accurate, others say that the church is actually growing, but because so many people are leaving, it stays flat.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are leaving the things of God. And you know what? How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have known somebody who loved God at one time, but then got involved in this, and then suddenly God wasn't important to them anymore? What happened? He just became less and less of a priority. And you know what? That's how you walk away from things. And they walk away from God. They forget about God. And the Bible says, why is that happening? Well, over in Matthew 24:12, Jesus tells us, he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Ooh, isn't that wild? Because, how many believe there's an increase of wickedness?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there is an increase of wickedness in our day. And he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Now, here's something. Now this is going to blow you away. Just to show you, in America, how we have moved away from the things of God. How we've moved away from the things of God. Now, there are four people groups they have titles. There's the builders. There's the boomers. How many of you ever heard of baby boomers? There's baby boomers. There's the busters. I don't really care for that name, but busters. And then there's the bridgers, or millennials. Now, a builder, you were born between 1927 and 1945. We have a builder right back there. We've got Louis. Now, of these people born in that time in our country, 65% of them had a Bible-believing basis. They, either went to Sunday school, said grace over their food, whatever, but they have a Bible-based moral compass on the inside of them. 65%. And we can see that in our country. We can see it. Now, of the boomers, you were born between 1946 and 1964. How many boomers do we have?
Woohoo!
Baby
yes.
Boom!
Boom!
Right?
Yeah.
Boom!
Of you guys, 35% of you have a Bible-believing basis, Bible-believing core about you, 35%. Now, the busters, that's 1965 to 1983. How many busters? Woo, the busters. I think we need a new name, though. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we have, is it because we busted on the scene? That's probably what it was. Right? Now, of the busters, listen, 16% of us have a Bible-believing core, a godly compass on the inside. Now, of the bridgers, or the millennials, you were born from 1984 to present. How many of those we have? Right? Millennials! You guys got a good name. Or bridgers. I like that. You got a good name. Of the bridgers, guess how many? 4%. 4% of bridgers or millennials have a Bible-believing basis, a Bible-believing core on the inside of them. Now, here's the question we need to ask ourselves. For our country, we're Americans in this room. God's not an American, but we are, right?
That's right.
And this is our Jerusalem. This is our harvest field right here. This is where we work. So we need to be interested in this. If at this point, because the boomers, those are the people that are running our country right now.
Yes.
Those are the president, the CEOs of most major companies, the big timers. They're mostly boomers. They are running our nation. 35% of them have a Bible-believing core. And our country looks like this.
Wow.
Imagine what it's going to look like when these millennials are running it. With only 4% of us. And listen, and that is why, and we've always done this, that is why most of our money goes in youth and children's.
Yes.
Youth and children's. That is why we have young people singing mostly on our stage.
Yes.
And that is why we have loud music, that's why we have drums, that's why we have electric guitar, that's why we play rock music, and that's why pretty soon we're going to install our new fancy lights and go, it's going to be awesome. But every once in a while, I get a boomer who booms into my office, and they want to tell me they don't like the music. I'm like, I should say, you're a boomer. You should like the boom. You should like it.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't like the music. It's too rock and roll. It's too this. It's too that. Why are the lights off? Just complaining. They're just complaining. But I tell them, I say, listen, your generation is already saved. You're already on your way to heaven. You've already lived most of your life. We're after millennials.
Come on now.
In the box.
our country, they are the future of the gospel.
Yes.
And they're not going to come into a church that's got a big pipe organ and singing Kumbaya. They're not going to do that.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm a buster.
I don't want to do that. And so, you know, that's why you got to understand that. That's why so many churches say, oh, these churches are just rock and roll now. It's because we have to reach this generation.
Yes.
96% of them have no Bible moral compass in them. Mm-hmm. And here's why that is dangerous.
Yes.
Because when the morality of a nation falls, the humanity of the nation suffers. And we see that so clearly.
Yeah.
Aren't you tired of turning on the television and seeing atrocities and seeing things and you think to yourself, what is wrong with that person? What is wrong with them? How could a human being do that? It's because there's no God in it. There's no shred of it. They don't know it. They don't know any of it. There are people in this world that don't know who Adam and Eve are. And we're church people. We're like, how can that be? It is.
Yes.
It is. It's a true fact. And so that's why it's so important that we reach this generation.
Yes.
We reach these people.
Yes.
Because, you know what, the increase of wickedness causes the love of most will grow cold. These millennials have it harder than any of us.
Yes.
I mean, we can tell the stories about walking to the school in the snow, but we've got nothing compared to them. You know how your parents always say, I just walk both ways, uphill, both ways, right? You know, how's that possible, right? How does that work? You know, I mean, you always hear these crazy stories from your parents or whatever, but really, the truth be told, young people who are believers have it harder than any of us ever imagined. And that's why we need to pray for them, support them, and help them. Because they got more coming at them than we ever dreamed about.
Yeah.
You know, we would have, you could at least have safe haven. But now with social media and the internet and all that, the enemy's perverted. It's just temptation constantly. There's more drugs now than there ever has been. And they're more accessible than they ever have been.
Yes.
And it's just craziness. And that's why we've got to reach this generation, because there is wickedness. And so the next thing Peter tells us here, he says, people are going to think he's not coming. They're going to give up hope. They're going to give up hope. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, he says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But people are giving up. And I think we definitely can see that. And so when we think about this and we see what Peter's telling us, and what Jesus is telling us through Matthew 24, he's saying, listen, in the last days, here's what you're going to see. People are going to be doing their own thing. People are going to be distracted by the things of life, and they'll have no time for God. How many times, I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, you know, I really love church, but I still have time.
Yeah.
And you just want to smack them across the head and say, you don't understand. You don't understand what you're saying and what you're doing. And the decisions you make today are going to impact your family for years.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. People are going to be so distracted. I don't have time. I'm busy. They're going to be distracted by stuff. Next thing, people are just going to forget God. They're just going to get caught up in the things that are not of God and slowly walk away from God.
Yeah.
Because you know you can only be involved in stuff that is ungodly and try to stay, you know, straddle the fence. That only works for a short time. I've been there. I know that. One day you'll choose one or the other.
Yes.
And if you keep staying in that wickedness, it will suck you in.
Yeah.
It'll suck you in. I've been there. I know that. And then he says people are going to think he's not coming. And then he says this. He says people are not going to be ready. They're not going to be ready. When they did that survey, they found out that 62% of Americans believe that Jesus is returning soon. But yet we can look around and say, if you think Jesus is coming back, shouldn't you be busy? Shouldn't you be doing stuff, right? Shouldn't you be getting ready? You know, I told you guys about my magnet. I have this magnet. It's offensive to some people, but I think it's hysterical and truthful. And it says this. It's a picture of Jesus. And it says, Jesus is coming back. Look busy. You know, I just love that. I'd like to make my own. This is Jesus is coming back. Be busy. Be busy.
Amen.
Look, be busy.
Yes.
But Matthew 24:40-42 says this. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. You know, it's unfortunate, but because people are distracted by life, because they are lovers of self, because they are pulled away by wickedness, they will be left. And that is not God's will. That is not what God wants. But because of our actions, that is what will happen. One will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. And then he says this, therefore, keep watch. Another translation says, therefore, be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready. Because you do not know what day your Lord will come. And so we see that, I can say, I think after seeing these and seeing the things that Peter says, these are what it's going to look like in the end times, knowing that all those things that need to happen, all those prophecies have come to pass, all of that, we need to ask ourselves, do we think that this is the end? Are we living in the last days? And I think all of us would probably say yes. But here's the thing that is important to remember. Whether these are the last days, let's all do that just for fun, the last days, or it's not, it's still your last days.
Yes.
This is the last October 5th, 2014 you will ever have. This is the last one. It will never come back around. It's your last days. This is your life to live. And whether Jesus, it is, let's do it all together, the last days or my last days, I need to just do what God tells me to do.
Yes.
Now, some people get all caught up in stuff.
Amen.
And they want to get out Revelation and pull out the charts and chart everything and read the Jewish history and get the blood moon stuff and get all that stuff. That's fine. That's fine. If you want to do that, don't invite me. It does not interest me. Because, and that's just me. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But listen, if you're going to do that, make sure you're doing what Peter said to do in the last days.
Yes.
That's fine to do. That's fine to get all caught up in that stuff. That's fine. But don't let that take the place of doing what Peter says. And he tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 or 7, he says, the end of all things is near. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Like the beginning of a movie. The end of all things is near. And then Peter says, therefore. He said, listen, the end of all things is near. Whether it's the end of all things or just my life, it doesn't matter. It's near. The end of our lives is near. There's one thing we all have in common. We are all terminal. We're all going to die. Whether we see Jesus come riding back on the horses in heaven, or we pass away. We are all going to stand before Jesus one day. And he's not going to want to look at our charts. He's going to want to know, did you do what I told you to do through the word? And so Peter's saying, the end of all things is near. And then he tells us, therefore, he tells us what to do. So if you believe that these are the end times, you need to be doing these things. Because this is what the Bible tells us to do. So he says in 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And here's the thing about praying. Prayer makes you clear-minded and helps you be self-controlled. But here's why we need to be clear-minded. Because deception is coming at a rampant speed. It's
coming.
There are people that have been preaching the gospel, the true word. They have been preaching the gospel, and now all of a sudden, they're starting to preach that you can get to heaven. As long as you love people, there's many ways to heaven. There's many paths to heaven. That's not even true.
Amen.
That's not even true. There are people that are preaching, saying it's the gospel, saying you can live any way you want to.
No.
It doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. You know why people change their doctrine? Because God's telling them to change their lives, and they don't want to. So they change their doctrine to fit their life.
No.
That's not how it works.
Yes.
Remember my commercials?
That's not how this works.
We change our lives to fit the doctrine.
That's right.
You don't change doctrine to fit you.
Amen.
That's just a course for destruction. But that's what's happening. And so we got to be clear-minded. And we got to have self-control. Why do I need self-control? Because there's going to be a lot of crazy going on in the world, and there's going to be supernatural stuff that's happening. There's going to be people doing miracles not in the name of Jesus, and you're going to be very curious, and you're going to want to check it out.
Yep.
Ooh.
And there are just some things. There is a reason why there's a saying called curiosity killed the cat. Because curiosity can get you into trouble. It can get you into trouble. There are some things you just have to say no. There are some videos, no matter what the heading says on Facebook, you just need to be like, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. There's just some stuff we've got to say no to.
Yes.
Curiosity is dangerous. I had a young person come in my office the other day, and they've only been saved about a year maybe, and they came in and they were asking about all these religions, and you know, and I didn't know a little bit of stuff about that, just because, you know, I've been to school and everything. And so they were like, you know, I think I'm going to study all the religions. And I looked at them and I said, listen, see, if you come and sit in my office, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
I'm always going to tell you the truth. You may never sit in my office again. I may never see you again. But when I stand before Jesus and he says, did you speak the truth? I'm going to say yes.
Yes, amen.
Did it hurt people's feelings? Sometimes.
Yes.
But love speaks the truth.
Yes.
And so they come in and they're like, oh, I'm going to study all these religions. I just find it so fascinating. I said, listen to me. You got no business studying any other religion. You are a baby Christian. If that hurts your feelings, I am sorry. But that is the truth.
Yes.
You are a baby. You need to grow in the things of God.
Yes.
So that you are so... I said, I'm not saying you can never do it, but you need to grow up first.
Yes.
Because you can't do it. We don't let babies play with cleaning products.
Nope.
Why? They don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with them. And that's the same with, there are some things that as a baby Christian, you shouldn't be playing with.
That's right. That's
you shouldn't
right.
be playing with. You should not be playing with. Somebody's like, oh, I want to go visit other churches and see this and see that. I'm like, why don't you do what the Word says?
Yeah.
Don't you think that'll work out better for you?
Yes.
The Bible says to plant yourself. Mm-hmm. Plant yourself. You plant
yes.
yourself. You don't uproot
yes.
yourself constantly going to another church. What kind of health would a plant have if it's constantly being uprooted? It'd be dead.
Dead.
And unfortunately, that's what happens to a lot of believers.
Yeah.
Because they're curious.
Ooh.
Well, you need to be self-controlled.
Yes.
And say no to stuff.
Yes. Amen.
There's just some stuff you got to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to say no to it.
Yeah.
And that's going to come through prayer. And then Peter says this. Now, it's so interesting because he's saying, the end of all things is near. Right? The end of all things is near. And he says, listen, make sure you pray. And next thing he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling.
Yes.
So here, this shows the importance of love in relationships. Because you know the only thing that lasts forever? The only thing that lasts forever is people.
Yeah.
It's people. And so here he's saying, the end of all things is near. Make sure you're taking care of your relationships. You would think it'd be like, make sure you, I don't know, do other stuff. But that just shows the importance of relationships to God. And then he says, love covers over a multitude of sins. Now remember, he's talking about what to do in the end times. Love covers over a multitude of sins. I believe the reason that it says that is, one, of course we're supposed to do that, but especially for the end times, is because in the times we're living in is a time of exposing people. Whenever, like, any celebrity misses it or makes a mistake, what happens? It's on the news. On the news. Got to get a picture. Everybody wants to see. If a minister falls, you got to expose it. Everybody's got to know. But the Bible says love covers.
Amen.
Love covers. Just because you mess up doesn't mean you should have to be on the news.
Amen.
And that's the news on TV or the news within a friend group.
Amen.
Amen.
Love covers. Next time you want to find yourself saying, hey, you're never going to believe what so-and-so did, you need to ask yourself, what would you want somebody to do if it was you? Because
right.
we're all going to fall. We're all going to screw up. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to do crazy stuff. That's just life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Love covers.
Yeah.
Love covers. Doesn't mean we say what they did was okay, but we don't have to expose it. And so when he's talking about the end times, I believe that, I mean, how many know, in the times we're living in, man, nothing is sacred.
Mm.
Nothing is private. Everything is on blast. And it's just not right. It's not right. And so the Bible tells us, let's cover. And then, number three, this is what Peter's telling us we need to be doing if we live in the last days. 1 Peter 4, 10, 11 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go back. Peter is saying everything is ending. All right? I love how the Bible is so direct. You know, I hate when people come in and they're like, well, you know, it's like, just say it. Just say it, right? That's how the Bible is, man. God just says it to us. And Peter says, everything is ending. The world is coming to an end. These are the last days. Here's what you should be doing. Make sure you're clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Make sure you're loving and taking care of your relationships, and you're covering over the mistakes of people. You're not exposing them. And then he says in 3, make sure you're serving. Make sure you're using the gifts you've been given. In the last days, it's time to get off the pew and use the gift you've been given. Whatever gift that you say, well, I don't have a gift. You do have a gift. The Bible says what the gift that each one of you has been given. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something you're good at. And you know what we do in the body of Christ? We use what we're good at out in the world, and we make money with it, and we make friends with it, and we do stuff with it in the world, but then we don't think that the church has a place for what you're good at. That's a lie. What you're good at is made for the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's made for.
Yes.
Using it in your job is just an added bonus.
Yeah.
It's made for the church.
Amen.
And so then we're going to have a whole bunch of believers, and it's in the last days, and we got 4% of millennials who are the only ones who know anything about God, 96% of them don't, and we got a whole bunch of believers that are sitting on their gift.
Yes.
And Peter said, don't do that. You're supposed to use the gift you have. You say, well, I don't know my gift. Well, take the Thrive class. Give us 4 weeks, and we'll help you discover the gift you have, and we'll help you use it.
Yes.
Give us 4 weeks. Because everybody has a gift. You know, these guys who are good with computers. You know, Macho's up here. He's going to school to make movies. So you know what he does? He helps make the movies around here.
Yes.
He comes in and he sits up there. He comes to all 3 services usually, at least 2. And for this service, you know what he does? He uses his gift to make sure that you guys see the words.
Yes.
To make sure that you can follow along with the songs if you don't know the words.
Mm-hmm.
That he's using his gift. And you know, but some people say, oh, what does that matter? How many were glad you got to see the words to the songs?
Hello.
Yeah? How many are glad that the scripture's up there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's using his gift. He's helping you get more out of this service. Your gift is for the body of Christ.
Yes,
that's what it's for. That's what God gave it to you for. You got to use it. And then the last thing that Peter tells us, if we believe these are the last days, which again, even if they're not the last days, there are last days.
Right.
There are last days. And he says this in 2 Peter 3:11. And I love how blunt Peter is. Since everything will be destroyed. Oh, by the way, since everything's going to be destroyed in this way, he says, what kind of people ought you to be?
Yep.
He's like, okay, it's the last days. What kind of person are you supposed to be in the last days?
Come on.
And then he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Holy and godly lives. Listen, the word holy, you know what that means? It means consecrated, set apart. We as believers, our lives should not look like everybody else's.
Yes.
They should look different. They should be set apart. There are some movies that we shouldn't be in.
Amen.
We just shouldn't be there. Why? Not because we can't go? No, you can go. But we choose not to go because we want to live a holy life.
Amen.
Our mouths should not sound like everybody else's.
Yes.
You say, well, everybody curses at work. You're not everybody else.
Yeah.
You're a child of God.
Yes.
The Bible says you're supposed to be living a holy life.
Yes.
I don't live a sanctified life because I have to. I live a sanctified life because I want to.
Amen. Yes.
I don't do, could I drink alcohol? Of course I could.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I could.
Yes.
I choose not to because I love Jesus.
Amen.
Could I smoke pot? Sure I could. Of course I could.
Yes.
I choose not to because I want my life to be holy and sanctified. I want to be set apart.
Yes.
I don't want somebody to be like, oh, you're just like everybody else.
That's right.
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I make mistakes? Of course I do. But my heart, my moral compass, is to live a holy life.
Amen.
Not because I have, I'm not doing it to get saved. I'm doing it because I'm saved.
Yes.
Amen. I'm doing it because I'm saved.
Yes.
And you know, and the whole, oh, well, God's grace, of course God's grace is gonna help me in anything that I do.
Yes.
But the Bible says, do not use God's grace as an excuse to live a life full of sin.
Come on,
amen.
Man.
That's just crazy. But that doctrine is sweeping.
It's out there.
It's sweeping.
Fast.
And we've got to say, listen, God's grace enables me to be sanctified. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And so don't be thinking you can live any kind of life you want and still have all the blessings of God he has for you. It does not work that way. It doesn't. Can I live any kind of life I want and still be saved? If I've accepted Jesus, yes, I believe you can. You can argue with me about it, it's fine, I don't care. I believe the only thing that makes people not go to heaven, there's only one thing. It's not sin, it's not cussing, it's not smoking, it's not adultery, it's not fornication, it's not any of those things. One thing, it's not accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
But once you accept him, and you grow up a little, say grow up a little.
Grow up.
And listen, for you grown-ups, don't be thinking somebody who's just into the things of God, who's still a baby or a toddler, is going to have the life you have. They're not.
No.
That's none of your business.
That's right.
That's between man and God.
That's right.
The Bible, we're not supposed to judge people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what are you doing that for? That's none of your business.
It's
none of your business at all.
You see it.
Our job is to love them.
Yes.
And encourage them and lift them. But Peter tells us, listen, in these end days, if everything's going to end, then here's the kind of person you ought to be. A person who has a holy life.
Mm-hmm.
Live holy and godly lives. Holy and godly lives. And what that is to you and what that is to me might be different, but we're all growing in the same direction, right? I'm not saying I'm way better. I'm certainly not. But, you know, sometimes we see somebody go on a movie and we're like, what? Well, that might not be good for you, but maybe they're not to that point yet. That's why it's important not to judge.
That's right.
Never judge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just encourage one another to go for it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But let's realize we're supposed to be holy.
Yes.
Set apart. Ask yourself, how different am I from all my old friends who don't know Jesus?
Mm.
How different am I? And you may admit you're going to go through some uncomfortable times when your drinking buddies just want to keep drinking,
mm-hmm.
and they're mad because you don't want to do it anymore. But let me tell you something. Those drinking buddies that are giving you a hard time now,
mm-hmm.
those are the same people that when life starts getting tough and they need more than another drink, or they realize that drink isn't doing for them what they thought it was going to do, you know who they're going to come find? The one who's different from them.
Yeah.
They're going to look for the one who has Jesus.
Yes.
So they may give you a hard time now.
Yes.
But you know God's going to use you in their life. But you got to be different.
Yes.
Because if you're just like them, they're not going to think you have the answer.
Yeah, that's right.
And truthfully, you probably don't. You probably don't. Holy. Holy lives. Set apart.
Thank you.
Let's be different. Because I think we'd all agree, these are the last days.
Yes.
Whether that's last 20 days, 20 years, 20 days, or 40 years, 20 days, 100 years, last days, I don't know. I don't know. But Peter said, let's be ready. Let's be ready. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know all that's here. I know that we're on our way to heaven. And Father, I just thank you that you would just help us to be filled with the wisdom and knowledge of your will and spiritual understanding. That we would know the will of God. And we would have understanding to the spiritual things of God, to the times and the seasons that we live in. The Lord, that you would help us to heed the instructions of the Word of God so that we are ready whenever the day may come that you return. Whether it is in our lifetime or not, we will live a life of readiness. We will live a life holy and godly for you. We will stay prayed up. Prayed up, filled with you. And Lord, that you would help us to take care of our relationships, that would be loving and kind people, not people who expose the faults of others, but those who love people through hard times and good times. Lord, help us to use the gifts that you've given us. Help us to be bold and courageous and get up off the pew and step into the work of the ministry, because we know that's what you made us for. Lord, we ask you to help us in these things. Give us understanding. Help us answer the questions so many of our friends have. Is this the last day? Help us answer those questions and help them be prepared as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.